Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Chav Zayin. Today's daf has been sponsored by Katz Judaica on Kings Highway and East 7th Street in Brooklyn, New York. Today's daf has been sponsored by Ilui Nishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem, Tanihim began Eden. Amen. We are starting today on Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Rishon, four lines from the top, starting from Tanu Rabbanan. We learned in yesterday's daf a very important machloket, the way to interpret our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Mefanin afilu arba v'hamesh kupot. Talking about a situation where a person is having guests or he needs to clear out an area in order to set up a bet midrash so the people could study. However, there were boxes of goods in the way. So the Mishnah said you could clear out four or five boxes. So Rav Chisda interpreted, what does it mean you can clear out four or five boxes? So he explained, if there's five boxes in an area, you can only clear out four out of the five. Because he didn't want you to clear out the entire area in order that you don't come to smoothen out the holes that you might see in the cleared floor. And that would be an issue of Ashvuye Gumot, which would be the Isur of Boneh. And then Rav Chisda came along and said that in Otsar, an otsar would be a storage house where a person stores, let's say, his wheat. So a person should not go into the storage house on Shabbat at all. Because he holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, that says that things that are placed in a storage house are mukseh. Person takes his mind off those items. Those are usually stored for business and for s'chora. However, if he went into the storage house and started to use the goods from before Shabbat, so then already it shows that his mind is on those goods that he uses them. So therefore it would be permissible for him to clear out the otsar as well on Shabbat. But if he didn't go into the otsar before Shabbat, so those goods are going to be mukseh, so he would not be able to clear out anything. So now the Gemara goes and gives a braita in that opinion. The braita says, Tanu Rabbanan. We have a braita. In matchilin be'otzar techila. One is not allowed to go into his storage house, lechat techila, on Shabbat. Because the goods in the otzar are considered mukseh. And therefore, only if he went in me'arib Shabbat and started to draw from the goods in the warehouse, then it shows that they're not mukseh. But he cannot go into the warehouse, lechat techila, on Shabbat. Aval, however, Ose bo shvil, he can make a path in the warehouse, kedesh yikanes v'yetze. So the Gemara says, in order to give him passageway to go in and out, so he could walk through and actually with his feet kick the boxes to the side. So while he's not allowed to move the boxes with his hands, however, he's allowed to do what's called in the halakha tiltul begufo. He's able to move the boxes with his body. That's not the normal way to move the boxes, and therefore would be permissible. And the Gemara says he does that in order to make a path in order that he could have access in and out. So the Gemara says, Oseh bo shvil. What do you mean? You're telling me that you could make a path? At this point, the Gemara is assuming you could make a path by actually lifting the boxes themselves. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ha'amart en matchilin." What do you mean? You told me that you cannot go into the warehouse like a tehillah on Shabbat. Now you tell me you could move boxes manually with your hands in order to make a path? So the Gemara answers like we said, "Hachikamar oseh bo shvil beraglav." He could make the path with his legs, meaning by kicking the boxes or moving them over with his feet, bichnisato ubiyasiato. As he walks in, he kicks the boxes to the side. As he walks out, he's able to kick the boxes on the side, and therefore that would be considered tiltul begufo, and therefore would be permissible. So that is the first din of the Gemara, that according to the opinion that says the boxes in an otsar are mukseh, Mukseh means that it would be forbidden to move them with your hands. However, to move them with your body, it would be permissible. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Tevuat Sevura, the person has a pile of tevuah, a pile of wheat. Bizman shitkil ba me'erib Shabbat, if you started to take from the pile me'erib Shabbat, meaning let's say to feed it the animals, mutar listapik memena b'Shabbat, then it's permissible to continue taking from that pile on Shabbat. Again, this is going according to the Yehuda, that says once you put something in a pile, that's like a storage house, so it's mukseh, unless you start to take from it me'arim Shabbat. V'im lav, but if you did not take from it me'arim Shabbat, asu l'estapek memena b'Shabbat. So the Gemara says, very strangely, divrei Rabbi Shimon. This is Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Now we know Rabbi Shimon is the lenient rabbi when it comes to mukseh. And now it's coming along and telling us that the opinion that says unless you took from it me'arim Shabbat, it's going to be mukseh. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara right away will challenge, how can you say this is Rabbi Shimon? We continue. Rav Acha matir. Whereas Rav Acha says it's mutar. A pile of wheat is not mukseh, even if you did not take from it. So the Gemara says, kelape laya, which means, where is this statement facing? Which means, how could you tell me that Rabbi Shimon is the one that's going to say asur? We know Rabbi Shimon is lenient in mukseh, and he holds that even if you didn't take from the goods me'arim Shabbat, it's mutar. So how could you tell me Rabbi Shimon osir? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela ema devre Rav Acha. So tell me that Rav Acha is the one that's osir. V'Rabbi Shimon matir. And indeed, Rabbi Shimon is the one that is matir. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tana, we have a Tanaic statement. Kama shi'ur tevu'ah sivura. Now we have another she'ela. How much is considered a pile of wheat that you're going to say is considered like a storage where it's considered mukseh? Because obviously if you just have a couple of stalks of wheat, that's not considered an otzah. That's not considered something that's going to be mukseh. It has to be a substantial amount. So the Gemara gave a vague terminology, tivu'at sivura. You know, wheat that is piled up. How much wheat is considered piled up, according to Rav Yehuda or to Rav Acha, to consider it mukseh? So the Gemara answers, letech. The shi'ur of a letech. Now, what is the shi'ur of a letech? So Rashi tells us it's half a kur, which equals tet vav se'in. 15 se'ah of wheat. Now the Gemara asks, Ba'a mine Rav Nechume Bar Zecharia Me'abaye. A similar question was asked by Rav Nechume Bar Zecharia to Abaye. Shi'ur tebu'a sivura bekama. Same question. How much is considered a pile of tebu'a? Amale hare amru. They said, Shi'ur tevu'ah sevura letech. It's the shi'ur of a letech, which we said is half a kur, which is 15 se'ah. Ibaya lehu. Now we go back and ask a question on the interpretation of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, according to the way Rav Chisda interpreted it, that on Shabbat it would be permissible to take 4 or 5 boxes and move them out of the way to make room. And Rav Chisda learned that the maximum amount of boxes that one can take is 5. Meaning, if you took it, let's say, from a big otzar, from a big area, Hakamim did not want you to take more than 5 boxes. And we understood that because more than 5 is terhaya terah, is too much exertion, and they don't want you to have to hayy terah on Shabbat. So now the Gemara wants to analyze exactly what the isur is of taking the 5 boxes. So the Gemara asks, Ibayelu, there was a question that was asked in the Beit Midrash. Hane arba v'chamesh kupot deka'amar. These 4 or 5 boxes that they allowed you to clear away for the guests or for the Beit Midrash, be'arba be'chamesh kupot im tefelo, did they mean when they said 4 or 5 boxes, did they mean meaning you actually have five boxes and you're going to make a maximum of five trips, meaning you're going to carry one box at a time and move it out of the area, and not more than five boxes in five trips. Alma, and what's the issue? Lemeute behelucha adif, which means they'd rather you take bigger boxes in order to minimize your walking. Which is, if you take bigger boxes, so you only have to move five times. You lift the box up, you carry it to the side. You go back, you take the second box. So since the boxes are bigger, so the Hakamim are concerned, what, we'd rather you carry a heavier box, but minimize your back and forth, minimize your walking back and forth. That's one way of understanding the issue of the Mishnah. Take five big boxes in five trips and minimize your walking, limited to just five times back and forth. That's one way of learning. Or Dilma, or maybe I could tell you, Lime'ute Masui Adif. Or maybe the issue is, I'd rather a person carry less weight. And therefore, the Hiddush of the Mishnah is like this, that if a person, he wants to carry, let's say, these kupot out, the Mishnah is telling you can carry the amount of five kupot, but even in smaller boxes. Meaning, for argument's sake, let's say the shiur of five kupot, let's say in each kupah, like the Tosafot says, is three se'ah. So altogether, you have a shiur of 15 se'ah that you're allowed to carry out. You can carry that out even in less, which is, they'd rather you carry that in smaller boxes because it's not as heavy. And therefore, the Hiddush of the Mishnah is they're just giving you the subtotal of goods that you could move, but not the way you move them. Meaning, don't move them in big boxes, because that's very heavy to carry three se'ah in one shot. They want you to, they let you carry up to 15 se'ah, but carry it in smaller boxes. Now, true, you're going to make more trips. Because now, let's say, you're going to carry, let's say, one se'ah per box. So you're going to make 15 trips back and forth. But what do you gain? Lemi'utem masui. At least you're carrying less weight. So that's the she'ela of the Gemara. What is the preferred way to carry the goods out? Does it mean to carry it dafka in five boxes to minimize your back and forth? Or is that the shi'ud of goods and they'd rather you carry it in more boxes in order to minimize the weight? Tashema, so the Gemara says, come and listen. Detani Hada. We have one Tanayic statement that says, Mefanin afilu arba vechamesh kupot. One is allowed to clear out four or five boxes, shel kadesh shemen, filled with jugs of oil, veshel kadesh yayin, or with jugs of wine. From this bright, that's mashma, that it's actually five boxes, that you're moving the number of five boxes. Ve'tanya idak, we have another Tanayic statement, the Braita, be'eser ubhamesh esre. We have another statement that says, you could move them in 10 boxes or 15. Oh, so obviously now we have a machlok between the Braito. So the Gemara says, "My lab, must be the way you reconcile the Braito is temor sabar miute behelucha hadif." The first Braito says better to make less trips and therefore just carry it in five boxes. Omor sabar miute bemasui hadif. And the second Braito must hold better to carry less weight. And therefore they tell you to carry it in 10 or 15 boxes. So therefore, the answer to the question that we had is, it's actually a machlok et tanaim. We see there's two tanaic views, that one says mi'uta behelucha, and one says mi'uta masui. Emma says, no proof. The kula alma mi'uta behelucha adif. Really, I'll tell you, everybody holds, they'd rather you make less trips. And they'd rather you just carry a maximum of, let's say, five boxes. Oh, so the Gemara says, but what do you do with the opinion that said in the Braita, 10 or 15? So the Gemara says, Umi savart be'esru b'chamesh tse akupot ka'eh. Well, you thought when it said 10 or 15, it meant 10 or 15 boxes? No. Akadin Ka'e. It's referring to the jugs of oil that are in the boxes. That's what the Mishnah, that's what the Braita is telling you. And the Gemara says, Velakasha had mishtakle had bekupa, which means sometimes you have big jugs and one jug fits in a kupa. So if one jug fits in a kupa, so then the maximum you can take out is what? Five jugs in five kupot. Had mishtakle tre tre. And sometimes the jugs are smaller, so you can fit two jugs in a kupa. So then you're taking five kupot with two jugs in each kupa, that's ten. They had the mishtakle tlata tlata. And sometimes the jugs are smaller, and you can fit three jugs in each kupa, and therefore you're taking 15. So when the Braita said 10 or 15, it didn't mean boxes. It meant you could fit 10 or 15 jugs in five boxes. And therefore, you're only taking five boxes. Because why? Me'uta be'hilucha. So sometimes you take five, sometimes you take 10, sometimes you take 15 jugs. But boxes is always five, depending on how big the jugs are. If the jugs are big, you can only fit one per box. So that's five. That's our Mishnah. When the Braita said 10 or 15, it's talking about smaller jugs where you can fit two in each box, and sometimes you can even fit three in each box. But the point is, the Gemara is concluding, the issue is better to make less trips, because the more trips you take is a tirha. And the Gemara says, Ubdekure deharpanya. And we're talking about jugs, let's say, from Harpanya. Harpanya is a place. It seems in Harpanya they had different size jugs. And therefore some were larger, some were smaller. And therefore, regarding, let's say, those jugs of the place of Harpanya, that was the Braita that was talking about. Comes the Gemara and continues. Ibaya lehu. The Gemara raised a question. These four or five jugs that we said, afalgav di itle orchin tuba. Does this mean even if you have many guests? Which means we never discussed how many guests you're having. We just said that if you need to clear out an area for the orchin, so you can move, let's say, five boxes. So the Gemara wants to know, when it said Orchin, does that mean no matter how much Orchin you have? Even if a guy's having 100 guests, we only allow him to move a maximum of 5? Or Dilma Hakol Lefiya Orchin? Or do we say no? It all goes according to the amount of guests, meaning 5 per. Meaning every time you have another guest, we let you move another 5. So comes again when it says, V'imtim Selamar Hakol Lefiya Orchin. And if you want to tell me, yeah, it goes according to the amount of guests. Meaning, for every guest you have, you can move 5 boxes to make room for him. Had gavra mafne lekullehu, or dilma gavra mafne lenafshe. Now, the question the Gemara is, who's moving the boxes? Is one guy allowed to move all the boxes for the Orchim, or do we make each Oreya move his 5 boxes? Which means, could be, even though you'd be allowed to move 5 per guest, but not the same guy. Because the same guy moving all those boxes would be a tremendous amount of tidha. So maybe, yes, you could move 5 per guest, but it's got to be moved by different people. Now the Gemara doesn't mean that you're going to make the guests themselves move their boxes. It just means by other people besides the same guy. So the Gemara says, Tashema, come and listen. Ve'amar Rabba Amar Rabbi Chiya. Pa'am achat halach Rabbi l'makom echad. One time Rabbeinu HaKadosh went to a certain place. Ve'ra'a makom dachuk le'talmidim. He saw that the students were cramped. There wasn't enough space for the students to sit and learn. Ve'yatza l'sadeh. So he went out to the field. U'matza sadeh mele'a omarim. And in the field he saw that there were bundles of wheat all over the field. So he needed to clear it out in order to make room for the students to sit. Ve'imer Rabbi kol ha-sadeh kula. So the Rabbeinu HaKadosh, it says, went and he cleared out the entire field. So what do you see from here? You see that it really goes according to the guests. he didn't only take out five, he took out the entire field. So you see, based on the amount of guests that there are, that's how many kupot, let's say, you're allowed to move. Only question is, where was this sadeh? That she tells us that the sadeh actually had a din of a karmelit. Now a karmelit is a rabbinical domain. That she tells us that how did he, you know, have to carry in a karmelit. So how do you move away these omarim? So that she says he moved them less than 4 amot at a time. But you're not allowed to walk 4 amot in a karmelit. So he walked 3.9, he stopped, and walked 3.9 and stopped. He kept on moving them less than 4 amot. Now, even though that's also asur midrabanan, you really don't have to walk even less than 4 amot in a karmelit. So how did Rabbi do this? So the Mefarshim explained that carrying in the karmelit is only isud rabanan. Carrying less than 4 amot in the karmelit is also only isud rabanan. So he did 2 drabanans, carrying in the karmelit less than 4 amot bimkom mitzvah. Shvut, the shvut mkom mitzvah. What was the mitzvah here? He needed to clear out the area so the talmidim can sit and study Torah. In any event, what do you see over here? That you can clear out the entire field. We skip the parentheses. V'rav Yosef amar av Hoshaya, pa'am achat halach Rabbi Chiya lemakom echad. Similar story with Rabbi Chiya. One time Rabbi Chiya went to a certain place. V'ra'a makom dachuk letalmidim. He saw that the place was crowded. There was no place for the students. V'yatza lesadeh. So he went out to the field. And he found that the field was filled with stacks and bundles of wheat. Chaya went and he cleared out the entire field. Shema, I mean, now what do you learn from both stories? It all goes according to the amount of guests. The more guests, the more you're allowed to move. Yeah, but we still have the other question. Can one man move the entire field? Or Dilma kol gavra veGavra mafne leNafshe, or maybe each one must move his own goods. So the Gemara says we answer that also. Tashema veImer Rabbi. In the story it says who moved all the bundles in the field? Rabbi. So it seems even one man can move all the bundles. The Gemara says veLetamech. According to your reasoning, Rabbi b'denafshe imer. And you really think Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the Nasi of Klal Yisrael, you think it was becoming to him or befitting mechubat for him to clear out the entire field? Of course not. Ela siva v'imer. When it says Rabbi cleared out the field, it means he commanded his students or he commanded others to go and clear it out. And therefore I'll tell you, really, one man cannot move out all the goods, that's too much tirha. Ela what? Each one moves out 5 kupot maximum. So you see over here, even though it says Rabbi did it, it cannot mean that Rabbi did it. Ela must be Rabbi commanded others to do it, because one man cannot do it himself. Comes the Gemara and says, "Mipnei orchin." We said that what? In order to clear out space to host guests, it is permissible to move these boxes, as well as to set up the Beit Midrash. So the Gemara learns from our Mishnah. Amar of Yochanan, Gedola achnasat orchin, keshkamat Beit Midrash. You see from our Mishnah that great is the mitzvah of having guests, achnasat orchim, of hospitality, as great as ashkamat bet midrash, which literally means waking up early to go to the bet midrash, or similar, ashkamat bet midrash means the diligence and consistency of learning. The point is, from the fact that the Mishnah equated the two, because the Mishnah said you could move the boxes for two reasons. Achnasat Orchim and Bitur Bet HaMidrash. So you see that Achnasat Orchim is on par with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, with studying. Diktani, because the Mishnah said, Mepenea Orchim, ומפני ביטול בית המדרש. ורבדימי מנהר דעה אמר, רבדימי פמנהר דעה סד, יותר מהשכמת בית המדרש. He even says the inviting guests and haknasat olim is even greater than going to the Bet HaMidrash. Diktari mipnei ha'orchin ve'adar mipnei bitul Bet HaMidrash. Because if you look at the order that the Mishnah places it in, first it tells you mipnei ha'orchin, then it tells you mipnei Bet HaMidrash. So therefore you see what? That having guests over is even greater than going to the Bet HaMidrash. It should be pointed out that the Chafetz Chaim in his Sefer Ahavat Chesed clearly learns the halakha from this Gemara and says that if a person is on his way out to go to the Bet Midrash to learn, and all of a sudden comes his way a guest, better for him to go take care of the guest instead of going to the yeshiva and studying. He points out, however, that's only if there's nobody home that can receive the guests. However, he says if he's Adam Chashuv, you should go yourself and tend to him. That's what the Gemara is telling you over here, that according to this opinion, Haknasat Olim is even greater than the Beit HaMidrash. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Gedolat Haknasat Olim, Makbalat Pnei Shechina. Being hospitable to guests and accepting guests is even greater than receiving the Divine Presence, the Shekhinah. Dikhtiv, it says, Ba'avraham Abinu. Vayomar, Avraham Abinu tells Borei Olam, Adonai, imna matzati chen be'enecha, alna ta'avor me'al avdecha. And the Gemara is explaining this to mean that Avraham was telling God, after the guests had come to visit him, the Shekhinah was with him. Shekhinah was talking to Avraham. God told the Shekhinah, please wait here while I go tend to the guests. So you see, obviously, tending to guests is even greater than Kabbalat Pnei Shekhinah. Amar bin Azar, Bo ur'eh, shelo kemidat HaKadosh Baruch Hu midat basar v'adam. Look at the difference the way Borei Olam is and regular human beings. Basar v'adam, by human beings, en katan yachod lomar legadol hamten ad shabo etzlecha. By human beings, a small person cannot tell the big person, wait here till I come back. I'm not the Echeretz. However, Ve'ilu v'akadosh baruch hu, ketiv v'yomar Adonai imna matzati v'gomer. Which means, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham, as great as he is, he's still small compared to Borei Olam, and he tells Borei Olam, wait until I come back and tend to the guest. The Mefarshim ask, that's good for us that we learn from Avraham Avinu. But the question is, how did Avraham Avinu know this? Which means he didn't have his Gemara to tell him that it's Gedolach, Nasad Orim, Mekabat Pnei Shekhinah. What was Avraham Avinu's understanding? So I heard from my rabbi, Hakam Baruch Ben Chaim Alav HaShalom, that he would say many times, because on that day when Avraham Avinu had the guests, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hotsi Chama Menartika. It says, Borei Olam took out the sun from its shell and made it a sweltering hot day. Why? In order that guests won't appear, in order not to trouble Avraham, who was on the third day of his Brit Milah. So the Hakam said, why did God have to make such a plan to make the sun sweltering hot? If God is talking to him, anyway, even if the guests come, he can't get up because God is talking to him. Ela must be that from the fact that he took out the Chama, Avraham Avinu understood from there that Shekhinah talking to him is not enough for him not to tend to the guests. That's why God had to take the Chama and Nartika. So Avraham learned from there that even though God's talking to him, he would be allowed to tend to the guests. Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Shila Amar Rav Asi Amar Rav Yohanan. Shisha devarim adam oche perotehem ba'olam hazeh va'keren kayemet lo le'olam haba. There are six things, six mitzvot, that a person enjoys the fruits in this world, meaning he gets a dividend reward in this world. However, the principal payment is standing for him for olam haba. What are these six mitzvot? Ve'eluhen, haknasat orchim. Number one, being hospitable to the guests. Ubikur cholim, visiting the sick. ועיון תפילה, עיון תפילה means that she לכוון בתפילתו, having כוונה in his תפילה. Number four, השכמת בית המדרש, waking up early to come to the בית המדרש to learn, והמגדל בניו לתלמוד תורה. And number five, somebody that gives his child a chinuch, an education in Torah, he raises his children in the Torah way. Number six, ve'adan et chadero lechav zechut, and somebody that gives his friend the benefit of the doubt. These six give a person reward in this world, as well as the principal reward, la'atid lavo. Ini, the Gemara, we have a contradiction. Ve'anan tenan says we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Pe'ah. Elu devarim shadam oseh otam ve'ocheh porotem ba'olam hazeh va'keren kayem lo le'olam haba. Here we have another list of things that a person enjoys dividends in this world, that's the perot, and gets principal payment in olam haba. And these things are different than the six that we just listed. Let's read them. Number one, kibud abbaim. That's respecting one's parents, one's mother and father and mother. Ugmilut hasadim. That's somebody that's involved in doing chesed. Number three, bahavat shalom sheben adam nachadero. One that's involved in making peace between people. And number four, v'talmud Torah keneged kulam. And the study of Torah outweighs all of them. So you see over here, we listed six. Now we're listing four. The Gemara is assuming at this point that these are totally different items, and therefore together you have 10 items that give you dividend rewards. So the Gemara says no. Hani'in, this is the Gemara's question. Hani'in, these, yes, meaning these four, yes. Midi aharina la, but others, no. How can you say that? We just told you there are six others. So the Gemara says, Hane name behane shaykh. Gemara is saying the four that we just listed now really include the six that we mentioned above, which means these are more, the first six were the more specific, and the four were actually general that include the specifics that we mentioned. How? So that she tells us, Haknas taprashi, haknasat orchim, ubikor holim, Hainu gimilut hasadim, right? Which means when we said haknasat orchim and gimilut hasadim and bikur cholim, that is included in what we said gimilut hasadim. V'ayun tefilah, and that which we listed also, having kavanah in your tefilah, hainu bechlal gimilut hasadim. That's also gimilut hasad. How is having kavanah in your tefillah gemilut chesed? So he quotes a pasuk Rashi from Mishlei Dichtiv, Gomel nafsho ish chesed. Somebody that's good to himself is considered ish chesed. Which means when a person, either we can explain, when a person prays for his friend in the tefillah, so that's gemilut hasadim. We come to tefillah every day and we pray for the sick people of Klal Yisrael and we pray for the people that need different things. So that is indeed gemilut hasadim. Or we can explain it like I once heard from my rabbis, that when one comes to tefillah, so he's now making a minyan. So by him being part of the minyan, he makes his friend's tefillah that much better. Because the more people that are in a minyan, says Berov Amadrat Melech, the more praiseworthy is such a tefillah. So if you're doing a chesed by being in the tefillah. So therefore, those cases, Bikur Cholim, Haknasat Orchim, and Ayun Tefillah, that's included when it says, Gemilut Chasadim, Hashkamat Bet HaMidrash, learning, V'gidul Banim L'Talmud Torah, and raising your children to Torah, Hainu Talmud Torah. That's the general principle that it said in the Mishnah and Pe'ah, Talmud Torah. Dan et havero lechav zechut. And when it says giving your friend the benefit of the doubt, haba'at shalom. That's included in the general term in making peace between your friend. Now what does giving the benefit of that have to do with making peace? So that she says, demitok shu machri'o lezchut. Since he gives him the benefit of the doubt, ve'amar lo chata li bezot, And he says, you know what? He probably didn't have intention to sin against me. Anusaya, probably it was beyond his control. Or maybe his intention was really good and something happened. So what happens? Yes, shalom b'dehem. So therefore, he doesn't have a problem with his friend and his peace. When a person doesn't give his friend the benefit of the doubt, and he says he had intention, he was trying to hurt me, so what does that do? It causes machloket. So therefore, dan et chavero dekav sechut and hava'at shalom are one and the same. Now the only one that we didn't include is kibud avaim. So therefore, she concludes and says that the three that were written in Masechet Pe'ah, meaning Gemilut Chasadim, Haba'at Shalom Ben Adam Nachavero, and Talmud Torah, those three include the six that we mentioned. Regarding Kibud Avaim, so that's already a fourth mitzvah that everybody agrees to, that what? That if a person does that, he will gain dividends in this world, and Olam Abba principle. Meaning, there are six that are mentioned in one group, and four that are mentioned in the second group. Out of the four that are mentioned in the second group, three of them include the six. So those already cancel each other out. The only one that's left out is Kibud Avaim, so that she says everybody holds that Kibud Avaim is a separate category, and they all agree that that'll give you Perot Be'olam Hazeh Ba'Keren Kayemet Lo Le'olam Haba. Gemara now goes on to tell us some stories about giving one's friend the benefit of the doubt. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita. Hadan chavero lechav zechut. If a person gives his friend the benefit of the doubt, he judges him favorably. Danin oto lischut. So in Shamayim, in heaven, they will also judge him favorably. They will also give him a favorable judgment. There was a story of a certain fellow that came down from the upper Galilee. V'niskar etzel bala bayit echad bedarom, and he hired himself out to work for a certain bala bayit in the south. Shalosh shanim, and he worked for him for 3 years. Erev yom kippurim, so it came erev kippur after 3 years of working. Amar lo ten li sechari ve'elech. Okay, I worked for 3 years. Pay me my wages. So I can go back home and I can support my wife and my children. So the Baal Abayit tells him, I don't have any money. He says, fine, so pay me in fruit. I don't have that either. So give me land. I don't have. Tenli behema, pay me in animals and livestock. Enli, I don't have. Tenli karim uksatot, pay me in pillows and comforters. Enli, I don't have. Hivshil kelav lachorav, so the worker, he took his kelim, his clothes, and he placed it on his back. Ve'alach lebeto befachay nefesh, and he went back home dejected. After all, he worked for 3 years, and now the Baal Abayit is not paying him. After the holiday of Sukkot, Natal Baal Abayit Secharo Biyado. The Baal Abayit took his salary with him. Ve'imo Masui Gimel Hamorim. And with him he had three donkeys. Echad Shel Ma'achal, one was laden with food. Ve'echad Shel Mishteh, one with beverages. Ve'echad Shel Minei Megadim, and one was filled with all different types of delicacies. And he went to his worker's house. So first they ate and they drank. And then he paid him. Amar lo. So the Baal Abayit tells his worker, when you told me on Erev Kippur, pay me my wages. And I said, in the ma'ot. And I said, I don't have money. Bema chashatani. What did you suspect me of? Amarti, I said. Sheme pragmatia bezol nizdamna lach velakachta bahen. Maybe a business deal came up to you and you needed the money to buy some merchandise for cheap, and therefore you didn't have the liquid because you invested it in merchandise. So he gave him the benefit of the doubt. From here, the poskim have a whole discussion. Is it permissible to hold back wages from a worker in order to go buy merchandise? So some of the mefarshim say that he had bought the merchandise before the claim came in to pay him, which means he came after 3 years to ask his wages. And before he knew he had to pay him, means he didn't owe him the money yet because he was obviously giving him time to pay. So he went out and bought merchandise. Ubishara she'amartali. So he says, when you told me, ten li behema, when you asked me for animals, ve'amarti en li behema, behema chashatan, I said, I don't have animals, what did you suspect me? Amarti, shema muskeret biyad achirim. I said, maybe you leased them out. Maybe you leased your animals out to others, so therefore you had no right to give them to me. Beshara she'amarti ten li karka. When you said, give me land. Ve'amarti leka en li karka. I said, I don't have land. Bemacha shatani, what did you suspect me? Amati shema muhkeret biyad acharimi. Maybe you subletted the land out to a farmer. In the olden days, that was very common, that they would have a farmer become the tenant of the field, and he would work the field, and he'd pay the owner a certain amount of percentage of the produce. He says, I figured you gave out your fields to leasing. When I told you I don't have fruit, what did you suspect me? I said, maybe you didn't take the tithes from the fruit yet, and halakha says you're not to give somebody, especially in Amaharis, you're not to give him fruit that Maaser was not taken from. When I told you I don't even have pillows, I don't even have sheets. Bemach hashatani, amarti shemegdish kol nechasav l'shamayim. I said for some reason this balamayit must have designated all his property to the Beit Hamikdash, to Shamayim. Amarne, so the balamayit says avoda. On the service of God, that's a way of swearing. Kachaya, that's exactly what happened. Hidarti kol nechasai, I sanctified all my money to the Beit HaMikdash, to God. I made a neder, bishvil Hurkanos beni, because my son Hurkanos, shelo asag batorah, because he didn't want to go to the yeshiva to study. So I didn't want him to benefit from any of my money. I didn't want him to get an inheritance. So I took all my money and said, you're not getting a penny. It's all going to the Beit HaMikdash. Ushebati etzel chaveri bedarom. But then after the holidays, as he went to the rabbis in the south, or his friends, hitiru lo kol nedarai. And then they made hatara nedarim for me. They absolved me from my vows. And then he tells the worker, ve'ata keshem shedantani l'schut. Just like you gave me the benefit of the doubt, Hamakom Yadin Otcha Lezechut, God should also judge you favorably. The Mefarshim tell us that this Balabayit was actually the rabbi called the Bilhazar ben Hurkanos. He had a son, Hurkanos, also, and the worker was none other than Rabbi Akiba, before he became a Tamid Chacham. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita. Maaseh b'chassid echad. There was a story with a certain chassid. Now we have a tradition, every time the Gemara says chassid, it either is the Biyuda ben Baba, or the Biyuda ben Rabbi Elai. In any event, the story goes with a certain chassid. Shepada riba achat. He redeemed a certain Jewish girl, Bat Yisrael, a Jewish girl, that what? She was held ransom. So the rabbi went and redeemed her. Ulmalon, and he brought her back to the hotel. Hishkiva ta'at margilotav. And he let her sleep right next to him. The mahar yarad v'taval. The next morning, the first thing he did was he went to the mikveh. The shana letamidav, and then he taught the shi'ur to his students. The amar, and then he told his students, when you saw me take this Jewish girl, and I rested her right next to my feet, meaning I laid her down next to me. What did you suspect me of doing? Amarnus, they say, Hasbe Shalom, Rabbi. Shimme Yishbanu Talmid She'eno Baduk L'Rabbi. We said maybe one of the students is not inspected by our master, meaning maybe there's a student amongst us that our master is not sure of his integrity, and therefore he didn't trust to put the girl with the students, so therefore he kept her by him in order to protect the students from making an avon. He says, he says, when you saw me go to the mikveh the next morning, I mean, the suspicion might be that maybe he was with her, Chas v'Shalom, that night, and therefore he needed to go to the mikveh because he was Baal Keri. B'macha shetuni, what did you suspect me? Amarnu, shema mipne torach haderech ira keri l'rabi. Says, yes, maybe our master had a seminal omission, not because Chas v'Shalom was with the girl, but because the Gemara tells us in another place, excessive traveling causes a person sometimes to have a seminal emission. So he says, yeah, probably from the traveling, you were Baal Keri, so you had to go to the mikveh. The service of God, that's exactly what happened. Just like you judged me favorably, God should judge you favorably as well. Tanu Rabbanan, Evabraita, Pamachat Utzach, Davar Echad, Talmidei Chachamim, it's a matronita achat. One time the rabbis needed a certain thing from a matronita. That's a certain noble woman who's a goya. Shekol gedole romi mitzuin etzla. That all the Roman officials used to be by her. Meaning, for znut. And therefore the rabbis needed to go get something from her. So what happened? Amru, the rabbi said, mi yelech. Who are we going to send on such a mission to this matronita? Amar lehem Rabbi Yoshua ani yelech. Rabbi Yoshua volunteered and said, I'll go. Halak Rabbi Yoshua v'talmidav. So Rabbi Yoshua went with his talmidim. Kevan shigia lepetach beta. Once he got to the door of this goya, halatz tefila berachok arba'amot. First he took off his tefillin within 4 amot of the door. Then he entered, and then he locked the door behind him. After he finished that meeting, he went to the mikveh and taught his students Torah. So he told the students, when you saw me take the tefillin off before I enter the house. Now, he says, "Bemacha shetuni." What did you suspect me? Because they could have suspected him, obviously a person allowed to have relations with his tefillin on. So it could be, I saw the rabbi before he's going to talk, he takes off his tefillin. He says, what did you suspect me for doing by taking off the tefillin? Amadnu, they say, Chas v'Shalom. Kasabur rabbi lo yikansu devrei kedusha b'mkom tum'ah. He said, you're going to speak to this goya over here, who's a zonah. Amis is not going to take tefillin, which is kadosh, and bring it into a place of tumah. So you took off your tefillin out of respect for the tefillin. B'sha'at shenahalti, when I locked the door, b'ma hashetuni, what did you suspect me? Amarnu, we said, sheme devar malchut yesh beno lebena. Maybe you're talking sensitive subjects that needed to be concealed, that nobody hears. So it was secret information, so therefore you had to lock the door. Now the Aharonim point out, must be this was talking about before the rabbis instituted the laws of Yehud. Because Halakha says one is not allowed to be alone with the Goya. How did he lock the door? This was before the institution of the laws of Yehud. It says, B'sha'a shi'arati v'tabalti. When you saw me go down to the mikveh, b'macha shetuni, what did you suspect me? Amanu shemen nidzat sinura mepiha al begadav shel Rabbi. Says maybe some saliva came out of her mouth and she spat on our master. And the rabbis made a takana, like we learned earlier in the Masechet, that the goyim have a din of a zav. And just like a zav or a zava, their spit has tum'ah, Hakamim made all goyim like a zav. And therefore, maybe when she was talking to you, she spit on our master. Therefore, you became tameh. Therefore, you had to go to the mikveh. So what does the rabbi say? Amar lein ha'avodah, the service of God, meaning he swears. Kachaya. It's exactly what happened. Ve'atem keshem shedantuni l'schut, just like you gave me a favorable judgment. Hamakom yadin etchem l'schut. So God should also judge you favorably. Now we go back to interpreting our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, regarding moving these boxes on Shabbat, either because of the Orchim or because of the students so they can study in the Bet Midrash, so we said you could move items, but so long as they're not mukseh. One of the examples the Gemara Mishnah gave was Teruma Tehora. Teruma, that is Tahor. Obviously that is non-mukseh because it's viable for the Kohen to eat or give to his animals. So the Gemara says, Mefanin Teruma Tehora Peshita. What do you mean? That's obvious. I need a Mishnah to tell me that Teruma Tehora is not mukseh? Of course. Gemara says, Lo Tzericha Demancha Biyad Yisrael. It's talking about where the Kohen didn't get it yet. It's still in the hands of the Yisrael. Ma'u detema, I would have thought, Kevan delo chazya le asur. I might have thought that what, since the Yisrael can eat the teruma, so maybe for him it is mukseh. Kamash ma'alan, the hadush in the Mishnah is what? Kevan dechazya le Kohen shapir dameh. Since the Kohen can eat it, therefore it's not mukseh even for the Yisrael. And therefore he can move the box of teruma teora to make room. Next case, v'demai. We said, demai. Demai is one of the things that you can move on Shabbat. Demai is fruit, let's say wheat, that was from an ama'aris. You bought it from an ama'aris, and you don't know if he gave his ma'aserot or not. It's safik. So the Gemara says you can move it, meaning it's not mukseh. Gemara says, what do you mean? V'demai, halo chazileh. What are you talking? A person is not allowed to eat demai. On the contrary, the halakha says you have to take masrot. So how could you move it? It's mukseh. Kamara says, Kevan di'ibai mafkar le'nikseh. There is a way that this balabayit can eat the demai. How? First, he's able to, let's say, make all his property ownerless. Hifkir. By making all his property ownerless, what does that make him? The hada ani, he turns himself into a poor man. The hazyale, and once he becomes a poor man, the halakha we're going to learn says, poor people are able to eat demai. So therefore, hashtaname hazile. So even now it's ra'uita, meaning even before he makes himself hefker, all his property, since he can make it feasible for him to eat, it is non-mukseh. Now how do we know that aniyim can eat demai? Ditnan. Ma'akhirim et aniyim demai. Hakamim were lenient when it comes to this because the aniyim used to collect. Used to go from house to house. So now what are you going to tell them? When they go to the house of Amaharis, they can't eat that food, they can only go to the Tamid Achim to collect. In order not to burden them, they said, even if they go to a house of an Amaharis, whose fruit is suspected, since really, Rov Amaharis Me'aslinin, the majority of the Amaharis really do give Ma'asir. So you can rely on Rov. Who can rely on Rov? Da'anihim. For a regular guy, shouldn't rely on the Rov. You should take your Tirumot and Ma'asrot. But for an Ani, they were lenient. Ve'ta Aksanya Demai. Aksanya can also eat Demai. What is Aksanya? In the olden days, the Jewish army used to lodge by different homes in the town. When the army used to come into town, let's say for a different operation, so where did they stay? The government, the Jewish government, would obligate the citizens of the town to host the army, and they had to feed them. Now, in order not to incur a loss for these people, so they allowed the Baal HaBayit to feed these armies demai. So there are two groups that can eat demai. Aniim and Achsanya. Those are the armies, the soldiers that would be hosted by the people of the town. Ve'amal Abuna Tana, we have a Bishna. Bet-Shamay omrim, en ma'achirin et Aniim demai, ve'tachsanya demai. Actually, Bet-Shamay says, you can't give demai not to the poor people, and not to the Achsanya. U'bet-Elel omrim, ma'achirin et Aniim demai, ve'tachsanya demai. Well, Bet Hillel says you can. So our Mishnah obviously is going like what? Bet Hillel. But the guy in our Mishnah is not an Ani. So it should be Mukseh. But since he can make himself an Ani by making all his property ownerless, so therefore it can be that Uifim. Therefore when the Mishnah says you can move Demai, it's because it's not Mukseh. Next case. U'ma'aser Rishon Chinitela Terumato. One of the cases of the Mishnah was, you have Maaseh Rishon. What is Maaseh Rishon? The field owner must give 10% to the Levi. After the Levi gets his 10%, he must give an additional 10%, the Levi, that is, to the Kohen. That is called in the Torah's language, Terumat Maaseh. Or Maaseh Min HaMaaseh. Once the Levi gives his Terumat Maaseh, now the Levi can eat his Maaser Rishon. So the Mishnah said, if you have Maaser Rishon, Shenitelat Terumato, where the Levi gave his Terumat Maaser, you can move those boxes on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Peshita, of course. What's the Hiddush? Of course, it's not Mukseh. It's 100% Bible. Who do I need the Mishnah to tell me that? It says, Lo Tzirika Shigdimo B'Shibulim V'Natla Emenu Terumat Maaser V'Lo Nitla Emenu Teruma Gedola. Let's explain the case. According to the Torah, the owner of the field must give his first matana, the first gift that he must give goes to the Kohen. That is called teruma. Whereas the way the Torah calls it, teruma gedola. What is the shi'ur of that? From the Torah, it's even one kernel of wheat. One stalk of wheat, the rabbis came along and made a shiur 2%. When does that obligation of giving teruma hit? When the stalks are still in the field? No. When the stalks are still in the field, even after he cuts them, the hayuv of teruma does not hit yet. When does it hit? So the Gemara is going to say, after he gathers all the wheat together, and he makes a pile out of them, and he smoothens the pile, they call that Mirua Hakri. Then the process of wheat, so to speak, is done. He collected it, he piled it, he smoothed it. Now there's a Hayuv of Teruma. Again, the owner gives the 2% to the Kohen. Then he gives his 10% to the Levi. Then the Levi gives an additional 10% of that to the Kohen. However, we're talking about an interesting case over here. The Levi came and he took his entitlements on his own early. He went to the field when the wheat was still in the field. And he said, listen, 10% of this belongs to me. So he took 10%. And then after he took his 10%, he went and gave 10% of that to the Kohen. So what was given? Well, Maaser Rishon was given. Maaser Min HaMaaser was given. But Teruma Gedolah was not given. So you might have thought that since the Levi, he took wheat, that Teruma Gedolah was not given, you might have thought that that's non-viable and it's Mukseh. Kama Shmalan, the Mishnah, it's not Mukseh. You know why? Because at the time the Levi took what he took, there was no Hayuv of Teruma Gedolah. Because he took the wheat when it was still in the field. So therefore, that's Chadush of the Mishnah, that even though Teruma Gedolah was not given, still, it's okay. Why? Because he took it at a time where there was no hayuv. Now let's read all that inside. Get what that says. Peshita. What do you mean? Of course. If the Levi gave his ma'asem and a ma'asem, of course it's not mukseh. Lo tzirika shikdimo b'shibulim. We're talking where the Levi went and preempted. He took his 10% when they were still in stalks and bundles. And the Levi gave terumat maaser, meaning his 10% to the Kohen, but he didn't give Teruma Gedolah, because technically in that 10% that Levi took, Teruma Gedolah, 2% was not given to the Kohen. V'chihad amar avu amar ishtakish. And it's following the opinion of the Shtakish that said, Maaseh Rishon, Shikdimo b'shibbolin. If Maaseh Rishon was taken when it's still in the ears, meaning it's still in the bundles in the field, Patur b'teruma Gedolah. It is indeed patur from the 2% to the Kohen. How do you know? Shne'emar. V'harimotem mimenu terumat Hashem ma'aser min ha-ma'aser. It says by the Levi, he must take from his percentage an additional ma'aser min ha-ma'aser. So the Gemara says, ma'aser min ha-ma'aser amarti lach. Yeah, he only has to take ma'aser min ha-ma'aser ve'lo terumat gedolah v'terumat ma'aser min ha-ma'aser. But he doesn't have to give two things, which is there's a case that the Levi only has to give one. Meaning he only has to give the Kohen Ma'aser Min Ha'Ma'aser, but he does not have to give Terumah. And what's that case, obviously? At least we're going to say now, it's talking where he took it in the field. So as long as he took it in the field, how much does Levi have to give the Kohen Ma'aser Min Ha'Ma'aser? But the 2%, he doesn't have to, because he preempted, he took it at a time where there was no Chayuv of Terumah. So comes the Gemara, Zama Lepapa Labaye, Ihacheh Afilu Ikdimo Bikrina Melipater. Well, if you're quoting me this pasuk that tells me that the Levi only has to give one thing to the Kohen, Ma'aser and Ma'aser, who told you to make a difference? Maybe even if he comes and takes it after you piled it up, maybe at that time also he's patur from giving Terumah, which is one Terumah Gedolah. Meaning once you're telling me that you have a pasuk that's saying the Levi only gives one thing to the Kohen, what does he give? Ma'aser and Ma'aser. And the Gemara says, Ma'aser and Ma'aser he gives, but not Terumah Gedolah. So for that matter, tell me, maybe it's always. Maybe even after Levi comes and takes it after Miruach HaKri, after you piled it, maybe also you're going to be patur. So the Gemara says, Amaleh, he says, he tells him, Alecha Amar Kera, for you the Pasuk says, Mikol Matinotechem Tarimu Terumah Gedolah. We have another Pasuk that says, that the Levi must give Terumah Gedolah. Now make up your mind. Now we got one pasuk that says he doesn't have to give to the Magidullah. We have another pasuk that says he does. Now, the Gemara says, Umaraita. Who told you to make this chiluk? The Gemara makes chiluk. You know when he has to give? When he takes it after they were piled. When doesn't he have to give? When he takes it before. Umaraita. Who told you? Maybe I'll tell you the exact opposite. Maybe the pasuk that says he has to give his talk when you took it when it was still in the field. And maybe you don't have to give when it's in the pile. Which means you have two pasukim. One says the Levi has to give to the Magidullah, one says he doesn't. You came along, Gemara, and said, I'll tell you the Hiluk. When he takes it when it's in the field, patum to the Magidullah. When he takes it after it was piled, he has to give. Who told you? I'll say the exact opposite. So the Gemara answers, Ha idgan de ha lo idgan. Meaning, when is wheat called dagan? That's the lashon of the Torah. Dagan is usually a terminology that refers to wheat when it's in its finished stage. And then you hayav terumah, the Torah says. It says, v'shid daganecha. Now, when is it called dagan? When it's still in the field? When it's unprocessed. When is dagan called dagan? After you've collected it, you piled it, you smoothened the pile. So it makes sense that the Torah says you have to give dagan. When is it dagan? In the pile. Therefore, if the Levi came when it was in the pile, of course, he's going to have to give 10% to the Kohen. That's Ma'asim. He's going to have to give an additional 2% from what he took. Our Mishnah, however, is talking where the Levi went when it was still in the field. Therefore, it's not dagan. So he only has to give what? Ma'aser min ha-ma'aser. And the Hidush of the Mishnah is, it's not mukseh. Because why? Because there was no chayuv of terumah. Comes the Gemara and continues with ma'aser sheni. We said in the Mishnah, if you have ma'aser sheni, let's say, that is the another additional 10% that the owner has to bring to Jerusalem in the first, in the second, in the fourth, and the 50 years of the Shemitah cycle. What does he do with that food in Jerusalem? He eats it. Let's say it's too much food. Halakha says he's able to transfer the kiddushah of the food onto a coin. That food now becomes chol, mundane, The money is Kodesh, he brings it to Jerusalem, spends with that money food to eat it in Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah said, if let's say in those boxes that you have in your house, it's filled with Mahasir Shini that was redeemed, so you can move them, they're non-Muksay, because you can eat them outside Jerusalem. So the Gemara says, Peshita, of course, if you made a proper redemption, why should I think the food in the box is Muksay? Of course it's non-Muksay. So the Gemara says, Lo Sericha, Shinatan et HaKerem Velo Natan et HaChomesh. Halakha says when you redeem your Mahasir Shini on a coin, you have to add an additional 20%, which means it's keren v'chomesh. It's not a straight up redemption. You have to add a chomesh. And we're talking about a case over here where the guy redeemed it, but he didn't redeem it by adding 20%. So you might have thought, what? The redemption is null and void. Kamash ma'alan, de'ena chomesh me'akev. That although he didn't do it the right way, but it doesn't invalidate the transfer. And therefore, the Hiddush is, it is considered a transfer. The Kiddushah is off of it, even though he didn't do it the right way. He didn't transfer by adding a homish. It's non-mukseh, and therefore he's able to move it. Last piece of the Gemara. Turmus hayavish. We said that if you have a box full of turmusim, those are those beans. So we said you could move them. Why? Even though they're not viable for human beings, like we learned in the Gemara earlier, to eat a turmush, you have to cook it 7 times to make it edible for a human being. But the Mishnah said you could feed it to the izim, to the goats. So the Gemara said, Davka yavesh, only a dried turmus. Aval lach lo. But lach, if it's moist, no. What's the logic? If he eats a dry one, why not a moist one? My tama. Kevan de marir lo achla. Since it's bitter, the animal does not eat it. So therefore only dry turmosim are not mukseh.